Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. The exhibition, The Art of Seating, 200 Years of American Design, is currently on view at the Albany Institute of History and Art through December 31st. The traveling exhibition is organized by the Museum of Contemporary Art, Jacksonville. In the show, the chair is experienced not only as a functional item, but as art, with more than 40 unique chairs on view. I visited the Albany Institute of History and Art recently and spoke with Public Relations Associate Anya Leader-Nagy and Chief Curator Doug McCombs.
This exhibition is a traveling show. So this came to us actually from the Museum of Contemporary Art in Jacksonville, Florida. And we first saw the announcement more than 2 years ago. And I think at the time, Tamis Groft, our executive director, and I both saw this. And we thought, well, this would be a great opportunity to bring to Albany, to bring here to the Institute, a collection of chairs that is different than our own collection, that really kind of enhances it. And the thing that we really like too is that it looked at design over a 200-year period so that you could look at chairs as windows on American history. There are chairs here that deal with technology and innovation. There are chairs that deal with Americans adapting and working with new materials, which I think is also a lot of fun.
Do you know approximately how many chairs the Institute has? Not having anything to do with the show necessarily, but just how many are in your collection?
Yeah, we have probably a few hundred chairs on our own collection.
Oh, is that all? Okay.
I have to say that this collection here is nice because it does deal with chairs that we don't have. Being a museum that really focuses on the Upper Hudson Valley, most of our chairs have that connection. They were either made here or owned by individuals in this region, whereas this exhibition that's traveling has chairs from all over the country, and you'll see some interesting ones, for example, from Texas, which, you know, we really wouldn't be able to, you know, ethically and mission-wise add to our collection.
What is in this first room?
Well, the first gallery is really our introduction gallery, and we have two chairs from the collection here. On our left-hand side, we're looking at a chair that is an Egyptian revival chair. It's a black ebonized wood with a sphinx on the back. And this chair was made in New York City around 1875 or so. And this we have here because this was the first chair that the collectors, Diane and Thomas Jacobson, added to their collection. So pretty much everything in this show is from a couple who have been collecting now for quite some time. The other piece is the most recent thing that we have in the galleries from their collection, and this is actually a bench that was designed in 2010. So we wanted to start off with the first of their collection and then the last that we have.
Do we know anything about the couple that collected chairs and why they did that, how they started?
What we know about the Jacobsons is that they have a fondness for chairs and that they are still collecting. I know that for a fact because I was in touch recently with another designer, and the Jacobsons had just purchased a chair from her, a designer in Boston. And so they're still looking. They decided that this was something that interested them. And, you know, just like any collector, you could collect silver, you could collect paintings, or you could collect chairs, and they really wanted to go for the chair route.
What should we discuss in this room?
Now, I have the advantage of seeing this exhibition as a person who doesn't know anything about chairs.
I do.
So I'm much more of a visitor and learning about chairs as I go along. But one of the things that is striking about the amount of chairs, the types of chairs that we have on display here, is that there's a variety of things visually. So, for instance, you're not expecting to see a high stool made of cardboard. It's actually laminated. This high stool was designed by Frank Gehry, and it was a result of him having a lot of cardboard left over while he was making architectural models. The fact that this stool is made of cardboard, a lot of people don't know that until they get very close to it or read the label. It is actually strong because of the lamination. I believe he went through and did several different types of cardboard furniture, but it kind of ended shortly afterwards. It didn't really go that far. But his high stool made of cardboard is actually just across the aisle from a very sleek, clean aluminum chair that was also made by Frank Gehry. It was done in 2004, and it's called Super Light. It is very light. It's about 6 pounds, and it can hold up to 750 pounds.
The Art of Seating will be on view at the Albany Institute of History and Art through December 31st.
If we continue back in time, because we are going chronologically, in our hallway, it shows advancements in material. We have a very nice acrylic chair with a bright red cushion on it, and the acrylic is clear. And it's from 1957, and the acrylic was a result of World War II production that actually made this material more available, first for the war effort and then afterwards used in things like domestic design.
Here in the middle of our hallway gallery, we have a chair called a sling chair that was designed by a designer, Warren MacArthur. And MacArthur was known for working with aluminum in the 1930s or thereabouts, and also during and after the war. And what's particularly interesting is, again, the use of aluminum, because this was a material that, until MacArthur and a few others began working with it, was not a common material for chair design at all. And what he and others discovered was that pound for pound, inch for inch, it is stronger than steel, stronger than just about any other material that was in use. And so they could create a piece of furniture that was lightweight, mobile, that you could move it around, but something that also had a lot of structural soundness to it. And this one here is actually made from tubular aluminum, and then there's a rod of steel inside just to give it a little extra support. So the combination makes it a very sturdy piece of furniture.
Before we leave this hallway, let's talk about this one, which looks like it's made of yet another material.
That's right. This is fiberglass, and this is a designer, Greta Magnussen Grossman. I think what we see here is something that a lot of us would look at and say, oh, wow, that's like 50s, because it's a fiberglass seat, a fiberglass back, and it has this sort of glittery gold kind of surface embedded into it with all of these leaf patterns, kind of the silhouettes of leaves, and it looks a lot like the curtains that my grandmother used to have in her
room. I was going to say, grandma's chair, right?
but also, you know, the material, fiberglass, again, was one of these materials that was really a result of the war. It was a material that came about right before the war, was kind of refined for war use. And then, like a lot of these designers, you know, after the war and after the military had stopped ordering so much, whatever it was, aluminum or fiberglass, manufacturers and designers needed to find other uses for it. And so they started experimenting with furniture. And that's what Greta Magnussen Grossman did with this chair here, kind of using that material, fiberglass, as part of the elements of the back and the seat of the chair.
The Art of Seating will be on view at the Albany Institute of History and Art in Albany, New York, through December 31st.
If you wanted to come down this way.
Sure.
It is kind of an unassuming chair, but it actually speaks to another layer of this exhibition, which is looking at really well-known architects or furniture designers. This chair is actually designed by Frank Lloyd Wright. It is from 1938, and it has concentric circles that he was working on with his design, and it originally had three legs and not four. Because it suited his design idea better. But when the story goes that when he sat in the chair and then fell out of the chair, he decided that four legs were actually necessary for this design of the chair. It was actually office furniture that he was making, I believe, for the S.E. Johnson Wax Company. This became more of a mass-produced model. Not all of the chairs on display are mass-produced. Some of them were designed as prototypes or were designed as art pieces and were specifically made by hand by the artist. But some of them that are on view were mass-produced and were used in settings that everyday people would have encountered as part of a workforce. And to think of Frank Lloyd Wright being involved in some kind of production like that, where you would be sitting in a Frank Lloyd Wright chair, which I have heard are not very comfortable, but it certainly bears the name of a well-known designer and architect. So it's very interesting. People like to know that these names, like Frank Lloyd Wright, are on view. And actually, in the next room are some more notable names related to furniture design.
Two of my all-time favorite mid-20th century designers, Charles and Ray Eames. They're well represented here in their LCW, or lounge chair wood, as we like to say. Mm-hmm. And it's a great chair. It's an iconic chair of mid-20th century design. And the Eameses were interesting because, again, here are two designers that are working with a new material. So it really talks about innovation as well as styling and design. Right before the war, the couple started experimenting with plywood. And plywood was a relatively new material, but it was primarily sold and used in flat sheets, as we know plywood, primarily as, you know, temporary walls when you're constructing a house or part of a house. Well, they thought that this is a great material if you could begin molding it and bending it and shaping it, that they could do a lot with it. And they began experimenting, and then the war broke out. And what they were able to do was actually shape it with a heating device, almost like a clamp that would clamp down, heat it, and then allow it to soften and bend. They first got a contract with the U.S. Navy to produce plywood leg splints for the war effort. After the war, then they turned back to their attention of chairs, and they took that same technology that they had kind of perfected with the leg splints and began working with chair designs. And the LCW, this chair that is made almost completely out of molded and shaped plywood, really became an icon. And this is this was created right after the war effort. It's plywood seat that is contoured so that it's comfortable. It has a curved back so that it supports you and is comfortable on the back. Even the legs are plywood. And there's a structure that almost makes the chair look like an anthropomorphic being, like this animal, the backbone, so to speak, that connects the back of the chair with the legs and the seat. And so overall, it's a chair that almost looks like it could just walk off of the podium, off of the pedestal. It's a great piece.
That, of course, makes me, and I won't, want to sit in it to see how comfortable it is because it looks so comfortable. I bet everybody has that feeling as they come through that they would like to sit, but
that's really the problem with the chair show. You know, if you have an exhibition of paintings, you can come and look and you satisfy your eyes. You know, you satisfy that visual need to see the paintings. But, you know, for all of our visitors who come to a chair show, you want to satisfy your bottom and you want to be able to sit in it. And unfortunately, like any museum exhibition, you can't do that.
And then we're going to talk about one more thing. One of the things in the show that has a local connection.
Yeah, there are a few chairs that have a really strong local connection, and the chair that we're in front of right now, which is a cast iron and red velvet upholstered chair, has a connection with Troy, New York. This was a chair designed in the 1850s by a manufacturer. His name was Thomas Warren, and when we look at this chair, or to describe this chair, it's really these very ornate cast iron supports, legs, and kind of a central support, very much like an office chair, cast iron arms as well as a back. But really what makes this an important chair is, again, kind of the innovation and the technology. It's called a centripetal chair. So again, it is very much like an office chair. There's a number of springs that go up and meet in the center, very much like an office chair. But those springs that you see around the bottom edge are spongy. They allow the chair to sink when you sit into it slightly. They allow you to pivot from side to side. They allow you to rock back and forth. So in a lot of ways, it's kind of a recliner. It's kind of an office chair. It's an easy chair. It was, you know, obviously at the time, even though it may not seem so today, it was probably a very comfortable chair. Thomas Warren, when he was thinking of this chair, this was actually derived from an earlier model that he developed that was designed specifically for the railroads. And if you think about railroads in the 1850s, they were very rough and bumpy. There were not a lot of springs and shocks. Mm-hmm. And so if you're riding on a railroad car in the 1850s, you would want some kind of relief from all of that. And so he designed a very similar chair that was basically a way to kind of take the shock from the bumpy tracks. And it made riding on a railroad car a little easier at the time.
So we've discussed merely a fraction of the interesting chairs that you have here. The show is up through the 31st of December, and it is absolutely beautiful. It looks great here in Albany. Thank you so much for talking to me about it.
Thank you very much, Sarah.
The Art of Seating, 200 Years of American Design, will be on view at the Albany Institute of History and Art through December 31st. For more information, visit albanyinstitute.org. That link will be posted along with this segment at wamc.org/roundtable.